my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 1-2-3 cents of a podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
It's time for school, but you're not going to be saved by this bell. Established in 2016, Stride Pro Wrestling trainers have put their years of experience to help train the next generation of professional wrestlers. Nearly a dozen students have graduated and are now making a name for themselves, not only here at Stride Pro Wrestling, but beyond. Our athletes aren't locked into any long-term contracts, so if you want to train, use your head and contact Stride Pro Wrestling today. It's training you'll flip for. So kick your future into high gear now.
Hey friends, Kevin Huntsberger here. Episode 289 of my 1-2-3 cents, the podcast, and my guest co-host again this week because it is the first day, not only the first Monday of the month, but the first day of a new month of June. And Tyler Heath Hatton, of course, the co-host, and I believe this may be the longest period of time we've gone without seeing each other in person since Stride Pro Wrestling started more than 4 years ago.
Well, I have tried on numerous occasions to get you to come wrestle me, and you always have an excuse, so it would be your fault. So if we are just like I saw on Lion the other day, that Brie Bella and Daniel Bryan are growing apart, I would like to think that you would be the cause of our growing apart.
Well, maybe that is the case. We will get together soon, though. And let's update, because I know a lot of the listeners are here in Southern Illinois and are Stride Pro Wrestling fans. And we obviously did the, for lack of a better word, empty arena show back in April with Old School. The month of May has come and gone, and here in Illinois, things are starting to, but very, very slowly, transition to where you can have gatherings of 10 or less people. What's the status for Stride? Obviously not a show where fans will be in attendance, at least in the near future. And we're going to talk more about that in just a few minutes, but kind of update everybody on the status of Stride right now.
So we can start doing, you know, smaller get-togethers. You see so many different rules, and you see people, you know, get sued. So you really don't know what the rules are.
Right.
So I'm pretty much just doing it by my beliefs, what I think is safe. Because I don't think anybody really knows.
Right.
And not to get political, but from our governor to our president is completely different advice and different rules. And, you know, driving across the bridge to Cape is a different rule than here. So, with that being said, we've decided to do a couple more tapings. All the workers are on board with it. Like we announced, our landlords are letting us stay, and then we're going to open the training school back up, and we're going to do it different nights and do different groups, so that way we keep the groups together. So that way, you know, I think that's kind of the point of all what's going on in the world. And some of the stuff I've seen for school in the fall is having different kids on different days to keep them in the same group. So I'm kind of trying to follow that and also, be cautious, I guess.
You're being mindful and kind of, you know, because we are in uncharted waters and you're taking it step by step. And I'm glad to hear that the training school is resuming, because actually through all of this, we have gotten messages, people inquiring and asking about training and stuff. So it's good that, you know, the established trainees are going to be able to get some more time in the ring, and you know, you may have a new crop of talent coming through as well. How important is it for you to kind of be hands-on with these guys and women that are growing and developing and becoming maybe future stars of Stride Pro Wrestling?
I mean, I enjoy it because I hate to say it. I never thought I would be this guy because I don't feel like I am this guy, but they call me, I'm the bad cop. Mm-hmm. Usually Spade or Red Daniels is good cop, and then Tyler's the bad cop. When I come to practice, there's usually groans, and I think I text you the other day, like, I don't know how to half-ass anything, so I don't let them either.
Yeah.
And from my, you know, my workouts to my wrestling training, I can't just, you know, halfway do it. And so when I'm there, I demand, you know, it's, you know, sometimes if one person can't get anything, we don't move on to something else. We stay on it till that person gets it. And I mean, it can be frustrating because everybody else has got it, but that one person, but you know, no, you're not going to move on till you get it. So I don't know. I feel like I have a lot of knowledge, whether it's good knowledge or bad knowledge. So I think it's good for me to be there to pass it on. And also I like having other people there, whether it's Red Daniels or whether it's, you know, whoever, Jay Spade. When I have somebody else there, I like that they see something I don't see.
Right, right.
And so I like having that.
How do you decide, you know, is it, obviously you're basing it on performance and you're evaluating as you're going along, but how do you, because there's not a quote unquote, you're going to be enrolled in this and do it for 6 weeks or 8 weeks or, you know, 5 months or whatever it is. There's not a timetable with wrestling, because I do think it is something that, like you said, some of them get it and they're ready to move on, but you make sure that everyone's ready to move on. But how do you determine then who is ready for that shot in the ring and, you know, becoming a part of, you know, because I know that some of the Stride wrestlers, the Stride trainees, have had like quick little matches where they're not in there and being quote unquote exposed. But how do you determine then who's ready to move on? And I hate using the term main roster, but that's kind of where I'm going here, where they're involved in a feud where, you know, like you had Red Daniels and Scott Phoenix and Dexter Roswell, those guys all quote unquote graduated and we did a little ceremony and stuff. So what are you looking at when you're making that determination of who is ready to move on to that level?
I mean, to be honest, and this, if you look back at the track record of what I've done, majority of the time, I'll work them in a practice match, and Spade will work them, and then me and Spade will talk. And then I'll usually have Spade have a match, and then I'll come in and work them. And then I won't talk anything out before. I may give them 3 or 4 spots, and then I wrestle. And then I see, okay, and then I'll give them feedback on what to work on. Then if you've noticed, almost every single person, they work with Axe in some form.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's with a tag team, and that's not on accident.
Mm-hmm.
I think the only one who may not have was Red Daniels. And that was because he kind of went right into the Jake Capone tag team. Mm-hmm. Right away, because yeah. Jake really liked him. Jake just really, really, really liked him. I remember when Red was training and came out, and I think he did a rumble for us, and Jake was in the rumble, and he just kept talking about Red. Jake Capone really liked Red, so he really wanted to work with him, and he had pitched ideas to me, and he had talked about him for a while, and then Red moved into the thing, and he kind of avoided Axe. But if you look at the new kid, Matt, if you look at Scott Phoenix, I mean, just the list goes on and on. They've ran through acts at some point. And then I get his feedback. You know, he's got it. He's going to have it. He's good. Do something with him. And then, you know, my big thing, and it rubs people, and people are quick because of it. And I've told people, I hate to say it, but some of you, your max in wrestling may be a 5-minute match. Mm-hmm. That may be the most you're ever going to get. That's like, unless you change, and some people it's athletic or it's their grasp of the business or their grasp of selling. And some people I'm like, you know, you're WWE, you know, I mean, like right. you, I mean, you know, you look at like an Eric, a riser, like you're, caps as high as you want to go. The mm-hmm. new kid, Matt.
Yeah,
he's picked it up faster than anybody I've ever seen.
Mm.
I mean, he literally just. I've never way faster than I did. Way faster than Spade did. He's already got a good look, a good body. He can work. So this guy's the limit. So as far as what I'm looking for, I take from different people, and I also see what character they can play and how it can fit in. And that's the one thing that makes me laugh and makes everybody else laugh. But, you know, most of the time they come at me and they're like, I'd like to work a feud with Axe, or I'd like to work a feud with Dexter Roswell, or can me and so-and-so tag together against you and Kevin? And it's like, well, wait a minute. First of all,
oh my God.
Your first 4 or 5 matches are going to be, you're going to get beat in like 4 minutes. And like, we're going to develop your character over the course of, you know, that was like, you know, that was, I go back to Garrett all the time. And I was always a huge fan of Dexter Roswell because he was the first one to get it that wins and losses didn't matter. As far as develop your character, I want you to go out, cut promos, act stupid, use hand sanitizer, and then get beat up
mm-hmm.
and lose.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care how your match goes. Like, we're going to train, and you're going to get better, and you're going to wrestle, but I want you to get this care. And then all of a sudden, it blew up. And people, you know, have said to me numerous times, they couldn't believe that he's like, this is the first title he's won.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about it, and I was always, you know, besides the tag team title, and I thought about it, and I laughed, and I'm like, because he didn't need it.
Right.
You know, he could be in the main event and draw without the belt, you know, and like, you know, and I've said before, there are times when he hadn't needed a title.
Mm-hmm.
And that tells you how good his character was. He did not need it. And so, he was the first trainee that, rather, you know, they're good. They're all great. You know, they're all special in their own way, but he was the first one that grasped, I'm going to tell a character. I'm going to be a character because that's what I, and you know, and that was, and it goes back to, you know, we used to do promo day at practice, and that was my favorite day. And I would tell them, like, I want you to be a character from The Lion King. Cut me a promo. You know, and they'd be like, what? And that was, and then that's how the Dexter Roswell character blossomed. Well, I wanted him to be Donald Trump. That's how the whole thing started. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, and 4 years later, and he, you know, that character has evolved, and we'll talk more about character evolution and whatnot at some point as well. But I want to talk to you, too, about, you know, you mentioned Stride and maybe doing some of these shows again where there are no fans in the audience. We've seen it, obviously, with WWE and AEW. Impact Wrestling's doing it. Some companies have kind of shuttered and they're not doing anything at all, or they're trying other, you know, virtual ways of doing this. There are reports out that WWE may, once we're on the other side of this COVID-19 and the stay-at-home orders and quarantine and whatnot, that they may not go back to the house show formula, where obviously for decades, I mean, my first house show was in 1984, and it was in St. Louis. What?
Yeah, I wasn't born yet.
I was going to say, you weren't even born. Tyler wasn't even born yet, but, you know, it was Hulk Hogan versus Brutus Beefcake in the main event. And I can still remember being there. We were like nine rows back on the arena floor, and as fun as that sounds, it does suck because everybody's standing up and, you know, whatever, you're a kid, but just being there was so cool. And even as an adult, you know, last summer, or I guess it was two summers ago now, WWE came to Carbondale, Illinois, and, you know, a bunch of the Stride guys were there, and, you know, we got to see our favorite superstars up close and whatnot. And there's just something about that live show environment. But if they go to this idea or concept of canceling that, because I know in some cases they're not drawing like they used to, and that's not just WWE, that's just in general. Can you imagine a world where they just do, you know, fans in attendance for pay-per-views and, you know, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday nights with Raw and SmackDown? And you know, AEW is already doing this. They don't tour. They don't do house shows. Does that hurt the business, or are we now in a place with social media? Because back in the day, you were going town to town to drum up support for your TV programs. But now, I think everybody knows where wrestling is and where they can find it, so they don't necessarily need those in their house, and really, a lot of the times, the best seat in the best seat is on your living room couch, watching it on TV, because you're seeing everything where you may not see it in person.
Well, I think there's two reasons for that. Mm-hmm. I do think WWE is moving away from it, and I think, my opinion, again, I'm a nobody, but in my opinion, I can remember going to Evansville in 94, not 84, and watching a house show. And I can tell you that, to me, so if you think back, like, that's what I think the problem is with house shows. Number one, I think indie wrestling is so popular, and, you know, people have said, and not to talk about it, people have told us, we like coming to Stride more than we do watching WWE. Mm-hmm. Or we like going to CCW more than we like, you know. I mean, you know, CCW was drawing big numbers a couple of years ago. And, you know, WWE was still coming to CAPE at that time. Yeah. And they were still drawing good numbers. With that being said, I honestly think it is, fans can come to an indie show and the wrestling is good quality, and they are good characters, and you're going to see different matches. With WWE, the last probably 10 years, you go to a house show on Saturday, you're going to see the same match the next night on the pay-per-view or that Monday on wrestling. And then you may see it the following Monday again, because sometimes, you know, Bobby Lashley and Rusev wrestled 50 times
right
in a different thing, and then they come to, you know, SIU, or they come to CAPE and they wrestle each other there. And I mean, it's practice, I get it, you know, they're practicing, but like what I remember in 94, or, you know, probably in 98 99, Stone Cold came out on Raw and he didn't wrestle. He sprayed somebody with a beer truck, or he ran somebody over.
Mm-hmm.
And so you would pretty much maybe see him wrestle in a tag match. However, they would broadcast at Evansville at Robert Stadium is going to be Stone Cold versus Triple H in a title match. And you could see that. You would see it on a pay-per-view, but I was too poor to buy a pay-per-view, so I might not get to see it.
Mm-hmm.
So I would get to see these two fight at the house show. And I may not see him fight for another 4 weeks. And so to me, it was like, oh, that's cool. You know, like, yeah. I get to see, I can remember, but right before WWE came to Evansville, like 2 weeks after the Mania, when Chris Benoit made Triple H tap out.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like 2 weeks later, and it was like Triple H was wrestling Chris Benoit. And for the heavyweight title, and it was like, you know, and I can just remember going to watch it, and I hadn't seen these two wrestle one-on-one yet, to my knowledge at that time. And I'm like, well, he got to have the triple threat with Shawn or whatever, but this is a one-on-one match, and I'm obviously a Triple H mark. So I wanted to see that. And right. So I think that's the difference is, you know, I mean, even I can remember back WCW came and the thing said it was going to be Goldberg versus Ric Flair.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, oh my God. Like, I mean, I was like in the seventh grade. I was like, are you kidding me? Now we saw what WCW was and Ric Flair wasn't there and Goldberg beat Rick Steiner, but still like it was, it, to me, it was like, oh man, I would never get to see that. And I got this, you know, and that was the match. And so I think that's where the house shows have failed. And so I do think they're going to move away from it. And I don't think much what WWE does. I'm not knocking them. I'm more praising what the indies do. I think, mm-hmm. if you want my opinion, how to fix it. Could you imagine going to a WWE show and Seth Rollins coming out of intermission?
Right. Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, if WWE wants to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, have different spots during intermission where these guys are going and signing autographs or taking pictures like they do at an indie show.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, if AEW did that, oh my, I mean, these people spent hundreds of thousands of dollars to go to StarCast to meet them.
Yeah.
Imagine, I mean, dude, you would have, I'm not even kidding. I think you would sell out.
Yeah.
I literally think you would sell out every single house show if you had six wrestlers come out during intermission, like they do at an indie show.
Yeah, and it doesn't, you know, it does. It's no cost to them. I mean, it's no, you know, they're not losing anything by doing that.
Exactly. You may have to pay more security, but I mean, the arena's going to have security and workers.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So I mean, like, I mean, I just, I've never. That's been one thing that's always boggled my mind. When I'm at these shows, and I'm like, why are you not doing that?
Well, you brought up a good point, too, with, you know, back in the day, a lot of the times, and maybe it's still that way now, they were using these house shows to practice. You know, you would see, the, you know, I'd buy the old After magazines, and I would read the arena results, and, you know, they were a lot of the same, you know, Hulk Hogan versus King Kong Bundy, Hulk Hogan, you know, in St. Louis, Hulk Hogan versus King Kong Bundy in Memphis, and then you get to WrestleMania where Hulk Hogan beats King Kong Bundy. So they're practicing. Do you think, you know, and it obviously won't happen immediately, but, you know, a generation from now, if this house show format goes away, will we see a drop in quality in the ring with these guys, or because they are kind of being homegrown now in their respective developmental territories like WWE and NXT or the Power, you know, the Performance Center, or, you know, where AEW's training, will we lose that, or will they work out a way where they're still getting time in the ring and able to work out, because, you know, a big portion of their livelihood is on the road, and you know, so on one hand, I think this may help prolong careers because they're not taking the bumps every day or 3 or 4 days a week, and they're not having to travel and deal with all that. So are they able to then meet in a facility and train more, and you know, where do you think all that's going to land?
I mean, I honestly think, I don't think they'll completely cut out all house shows. Mm-hmm. I guess I was wrong on that part. I think they're going to do the bigger ones. You know, they're not going to come to the Carbondales or the small areas right. for a while.
Yeah.
I do think, you know, if SmackDown's in Chicago on Friday, they might do another house show on Saturday mm-hmm. in Chicago, maybe Rockford or Indianapolis.
Yeah.
I think that's what it'll be. And then, you know, Raw may in Houston do a house show on Sunday night and then turn around and do Raw, like in, you know, Dallas on Monday.
Yeah.
That's what I think it'll be. I don't think they'll completely cut it out. And then also, I mean, they can, you know, I mean, they can make it where they require them to be at the Performance Center and practice it out. And you know, I think WWE, has just, they've got to move away from, you know, the having the same people wrestle each other so much. I do think that's been the biggest issue. It seems like AEW is the complete opposite, where they, like, you know, they don't build storylines and feuds, and they go quick. And then WWE is the extreme opposite, where they drag it out for so long. And so I think they're once they find a happy medium, it'll be okay. But I, as far as the house shows, I can't see them completely getting all the way rid of them. But then, you know, I mean, I worry, you know, that the tides have turned. You know, they've got rid of all these agents and all these wrestlers. You know, WWE, I think, is, you know, it's making a change in the direction, you know, that they're going. And I think that they are going younger. I think that they are kind of doing a rebuild in the way that they, you know, they want to do things. And I think that a lot of it is, I mean, I do think that they are not copying what AEW is doing, but AEW is younger and cooler, mm-hmm. and so they're trying to follow and mimic what they do. The only problem is WWE is glorified. So, you know, they're held a lot more accountable.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, if WWE had a wrestler slip off the camera, it would be on TV the next morning.
Right.
You know, why AEW can get away with that. And I get it. One's PG, one's PG, you know, one's, they're different, but still AEW does the bullying campaign and they do all that stuff. So they would be completely, you know, crucified. You know, I think I saw something, I was going to talk to you about this too, where it was, you know, CM Punk had kind of made a comment about Asuka not spitting the mist in Becky Lynch's eyes. And all these people were just like, this is why I don't watch WWE, because she should have spit the mist in her eyes, and she should have, that would have been the biggest heel move. And all I could think was, could you imagine during this coronavirus, during this time, if WWE put on TV with people dying and the hate they get,
yeah,
if they had a wrestler spit in a pregnant girl's face.
Right, right. You,
I mean, like, I go to Walmart and I sneeze and people look at me.
Right, right.
You know, and I'm like, and I feel bad for sneezing in Walmart. And I'm like, this is the world we live in. Like, I couldn't imagine I mean, if WWE did that, oh my God.
Yeah.
So they would have, I mean, they would be crucified. So.
And Dr. Hatton wouldn't have been there to treat her this time.
That was the thing. You know, I mean, it's just no, I'm shocked that they didn't call me in to, you know, to help out, maybe be like one of those nurses or whatever.
Confirm the pregnancy or anything like that. We've started something fun. You started it actually on Facebook, where you're naming, you know, I think it's part of the distraction of what we're going, you know, through as people are looking for fun things to do on social media, and people have been doing their favorite albums, their favorite athletes, but you've put a twist on it with favorite wrestlers. And so talk to me a little bit about that and what you're hoping to kind of accomplish, and not that you're trying to accomplish anything with it, but what was the motivation for you to kind of do this?
Well, I mean, my motivation was, you know, I had been tagged in the album thing by about four or five different people.
Mm-hmm.
I had been tagged in the sports thing, and I'm obviously a fan of many different sports. So, but I wanted to do, that's the number one thing I'm always asked, or when people talk to me that I haven't seen in a while, or I mean, I bought some equipment on Marketplace, and me and the guy came in the room, and obviously I have pictures of myself on the wall, because why would you not? And he's like, you wrestle? And so then he was talking about his favorite wrestlers, who he liked, and this guy and that guy. And that kind of gave me the idea. And so I got nominated by a buddy of mine to do the athlete one. I decided I wanted to do wrestling, because that's the one thing I'm always asked, or people always want to talk to me about, is wrestling. And if I've met this guy, or I've met that guy, or who I like, and who's my favorite, or you know, whatever. And so that was kind of it. I was like, well, I've never really done that. Mm-hmm. So I was like, and I think there are so many people that I've noticed when I made a post about like WrestleMania 3 is on TV, you know, and all these people are commenting on it. Mm-hmm. And I get like 70 and I'm like, people are so bored and they are missing sports or they are missing their lives. And they, you know, and I think a lot of these people go back to their childhood. And man, when I was a child, wrestling was, you know, it was it.
Right.
You know? And so this gives them a chance to go back and see it. So, and relive it. And, oh, I remember that guy, or I wonder where he's at now. So that was kind of my reason for wanting to do it. And then I was like, well, I need to nominate 10 marks.
So I was the first.
Here's the biggest mark I know. And I was like, oh, well, no doubt about it. It's Sensitive Kevin. So,
so for me, you know, I find it hard to compile a top 10. Now I have my definitive top three or four that will never change, but I feel like the rest of my list is pretty fluid, and it, you know, it will, you know, I could bring guys in and bring guys out. But you talked about childhood, and you know, my first, you know, as we're recording this, was posted on Friday, and I went with Daniel Bryan, who is really on my list that I wrote out, is the only current WWE or current wrestler, you know, I guess Goldust, who I did today, but he's wrestling as Dustin Rhodes. But you know, you do kind of revert back to those childhood days where I think the larger than life characters that resonated with you back then kind of stick with you and leave that impression for a lifetime. So did you find it hard to come up with a list of 10, or did you have, you know, your definitive list ready to go and just, cause I actually had to sit down and think about it, because especially once you got 5 through 10, you know, who am I going to put in here?
Yeah, it was a lot harder than I thought it was. Because there are some that like I had at the bottom and I was like, how do I put them in? Mm-hmm. And I was trying to figure out a way. I mean, like, they're just, I got to where I was doing cardio. And I was like, I watch a lot of wrestling when I do cardio. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'll just type in somebody's name. And so just the other day, the referee for WWE, Jason, mm-hmm. Ayers, I typed in a match and it popped up and it was two guys and he was the referee. And I sent him a picture of it. And then he actually, you know, we text back and forth about the match and he told me some of the things about the match, and you know, he kind of asked like, why'd you choose that match? And I kind of told him. So anyway, when I was making this list, I was like, well, I wonder, like, do I, you know, like, I was thinking about guys that I would Google matches and watch, and I was like, should I put them in there? Because, you know, whenever I'm on the WWE Network, I'm not Googling or searching mm-hmm. Jake the Snake Robert matches.
Right.
You know, and so I'm like, but then I think back and I, like, he was my wrestler today mm-hmm. and, it's his birthday. You told me that, Mark, it's only you would know that. but anyway, like when I was a kid, I think I've said this before, I didn't understand. I mean, I was up until the Hogan swerve, I did not know there were good guys and bad guys. And that's the honest to God truth. Mm. I don't know why. I don't, like, I think it was because I didn't watch it enough. My grandma watched it. And so every couple weeks, I would go to her house. And I think it was Saturday. And there must have been, like, a Saturday replay or maybe the Saturday show. I can't really remember. I mean, I was, like, 5, 6, 7, somewhere in there. And, she would tell me, you know, Jake the Snake's going to be on here. Because my grandma, I kind of liked Jake the Snake. Mm-hmm. And he was a bad guy at the time. And I didn't understand that. I honestly, like, I think I probably sent you Snapchats of it. But, like, you know, like the movie Roadhouse
mm-hmm. or yeah.
Jean-Claude Van Damme movies. Like, my dad would rent those movies. and I would get to watch them if they weren't too much nudity or violence. And so my wrestling, the people I liked reminded me of those characters.
Gotcha.
And so I can remember, like, thinking, like, oh, my God, like, Jake the Snake is a badass. You know, he is, like, he's mean. He can, like, hurt people, you know. Like, he can, like, he's tough. And I was terrified of snakes. So I was, like, he was the exact opposite of what I was. So I was obsessed with him. And I don't even, like, I can just remember for the longest time, like, I didn't like Hogan. Mm-hmm. He didn't seem, he looked big and buff, but he looked like a superhero, like a cartoon character. Why Jake the Snake looked like somebody that, like, you know, I'd be scared to fight. You know, Hogan looked like, he seemed fake to me. He looked like Superman or Batman. Why Jake the Snake looked like, you know, like a guy I could see on the street that I wouldn't want to fight.
Yeah, I mean, that makes perfect sense. And I think, it, based on your timeline here, I'm guessing this was right after he turned on the Ultimate Warrior and then started the feud with Macho Man Randy Savage after he and Elizabeth got married, is what it sounds like, is when he turned bad again. But yeah, Jake was one of those guys. I can remember watching him back when he was in World Class again. This was before you were born, but you know, he was just a one of the all-time greats, you know, and he is, and I think that's another case of, you know, you take a guy who had it already, but then he goes up north in 1986, and Vince McMahon just exploits it. And that exploit makes it sound like it's a bad thing, but just turns the volume up on it, and, you know, they add the snake, and they add the snakeskin boots, and, you know, they get him the fancy tights, and the music, and everything else that comes along with it. And that character, you know, 30 years later, 35 years later, is back on TV, you know, in AEW. So he's definitely one of those guys who has evolved, and, you know, we've seen him go through his battles and whatnot, but definitely it's, like you said, it's takes you back to your childhood again, and we keep going back to that nostalgia factor where you're watching these movies and these guys in the movies are reminding you, or the guys in the ring are reminding you of the characters that you're watching in these movies. So it's so a, it's what, an awesome thing.
So for me, when I pick now, I'm torn, mm-hmm. because as a worker, you know, as a wrestler, I like watching Randy Orton matches, mm-hmm. and I like watching Batista matches, or mm-hmm. I like watching Triple H and or Eddie Guerrero, or guys like, when I want to watch as a wrestler, as like I want to learn, like as a
right.
student.
Sure.
And so choosing my wrestlers has been difficult because of that. I'm always conflicted. As a fan, I think back and I loved Goldberg as a kid, mm-hmm. and so I'm like, as I'm picking my wrestlers, I'm torn because yeah. I don't know how to pick. Do I pick as a fan? And I kind of went that way. I kind of tried to mingle both, like yeah. thinking back. So how does Marcus Hunsberger pick? How do you, like, when you are like, okay, I have my top three that are never going to change. What is your thought process for that?
Mostly the entertainment value or, you know, kind of, you know, I will tell you that in my top three, Kerry Von Erich is there. And, you know, Kerry Von Erich has been dead for almost 30 years now. But when I was a kid, he was one of the first wrestlers I remember watching, and I was completely captivated. And that's what kind of made me a wrestling fan. And so, you know, watching him, you know, grow and evolve and then go to the WWF. I mean, those were all things that I enjoyed about him as a character or, you know, as a performer. But then, you know, you throw in, like, you know, my choice of Goldust. Dustin Rhodes to me was like plain vanilla ice cream, but then you throw Goldust and it's like getting that ginormous sundae with all the, you know, sprinkles and the hot fudge on top and everything else. So I'm just looking, a lot of it is entertainment factor, and then you go back to those memories of, you know, for Daniel Bryan, my number 10, you know, I was at WrestleMania 30 when he won the championship against Batista and Randy Orton. So just being a part of that with 70,000 people, and literally I don't think there was anyone that wasn't chanting yes at the end of the night. It gets you caught in that moment. And yeah, you feel kind of markish when you're doing that. But I also, you know, whenever you do these kinds of lists, and I always feel like, do I need to mention anyone, you know, indie, the guys that we work with? And it's like, I don't want to, I'm going solely on nostalgia factor for mine, and it's not a slight on anyone else. And, you know, and then you run into, because people talk about their Mount Rushmores or whatever the case may be. And I for me, if I were to do a Mount Rushmore of just the wrestling business in general, you know, I Bobby Heenan would be on my top four because of the influence he had, not just as a wrestler in the early days, but who he was as a manager and as a commentator. You know, he was a voice for a lot of us. So I like watching and looking at these lists, and I know that, you know, you tagged Sam Hamblin, who is with Stride, and he's tagged someone now. And I like watching these lists because we all have different opinions, and nobody's wrong in who they're picking. And I'll be honest, when you posted Christian at number 10, I was a bit surprised by that. Not that there's anything wrong with Christian, but I think I know the kinds of guys that you like to watch and whatnot. So seeing him was a good choice and an interesting one from your perspective.
My wrestlers, when I watch wrestling, if you watch me wrestle, it's pretty easy to tell. Mm-hmm. I like slow, methodical wrestlers.
Yeah.
So like all my, you know, like Randy Orton was on, like he was going to be on my list, but I couldn't really fit him. And to be honest, the 10th spot was between Christian and Randy Orton. And I went Christian because when he went to TNA and he got to kind of shine as a solo guy, I really, really enjoyed him. And then I, for whatever reason, whenever ECW started and he came back and became their champion, I don't know why, but I used to always watch ECW when it was on. And I think that was because that was when I was really training to wrestle and wrestling quite a bit.
Uh-huh.
And it seemed like that show was strictly just wrestling. There wasn't a whole lot of storylines. They obviously weren't doing the old ECW stuff. And there was a lot of just wrestling on there. And guys, you know, CM Punk and all these guys trying to get over and trying to, you know, show what they could do. And so I got really into it. And then, so I really got into Christian because he wrestled like a slow,
mm-hmm.
methodical, like overselling type. And Randy Orton fits that category and Triple H fits it. And so like I kind of like that style of wrestling. That's my go-to. So, yeah. So my list is very, just what I like, you know, like I said, me and you have talked and neither one of us really like dirt sheets and we don't really like to read the dirt sheets.
Right.
And sometimes stuff pops up and I like to go, I mean, I honestly like to go read the dirt sheets to see, like, if somebody's released or if somebody's hurt or, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what I like to use it for.
Right.
I don't want to use it for, you know, Hogan was seen at airport, you know. Like, I don't like that. But anyway, when I watch wrestling, I want to be surprised and I want to be, I don't want to know who's winning.
Right.
Or who I think is going to win. I want to be surprised. And so when I watch these, you know, these matches, like, I like ones that can trick me into thinking the other.
Yeah.
Where I, you know, so I like wrestlers that are, you know, are like that. And then this, it was really hard because after watching this documentary, I wanted to put Undertaker in my top 10.
Mm.
He wasn't, but after watching this documentary, I really struggled because I wanted to put him in it because I have a whole different respect for him now than I did. And I always enjoyed him and I always liked him because he was always that main event presence. But, you can just tell that he just loves the business.
Yeah.
That he just absolutely, and I love it. Honestly, like I'm a very, very loyal friend. I mean, like that's probably one of my downfalls. I mean, how many times have I messaged you wanting to fight somebody for picking on you on social media? You know, like, so
that is true.
I mean, so that's just how I can't help it. So I don't, I'm very private. And so when I have good, loyal friends, I'm very loyal. So seeing how loyal he is to Vince, like I relate to that because that's how I am. So, you know, like if I was to walk into the wrestling place and somebody's fighting you, I'm going to start punching that person and then I'll ask questions later. Like and that's what I, you know, hearing the Kurt Angle story that Undertaker told where Kurt Angle was wrestling Vince and Undertaker woke up and then attacked Kurt without asking. And like that's, I can relate to that. Mm-hmm. So I like people that are loyal like that. That's like, you know, so and I there's very few people in the wrestling business that have that. And it's sad because, but that's just the way the business is. There are, you know, there are certain people that you can just trust and mm-hmm. are loyal to. And look how many people are not loyal to Vince McMahon. You know, and he's right. not loyal to people either. I mean, right. I'm not sitting here. I'm not defending him.
But, right.
Undertaker is. He's pretty loyal. So, I can respect that. So, yeah. My list. It was pretty much just a. Who I enjoy watching, and then I sprinkled in some vintage from when I was a kid, but for the most part, I went with the fandom side of Tyler Hatton more than the wrestling side. So
it'll be a good list, I'm sure. And friends, you can check out our list. They are on our Facebook pages. Be sure to check out Stride Pro Wrestling if you are interested in training to become a wrestler or to find out. You know, we're going to be doing, as Tyler mentioned at the top of the show, we're going to be doing some recordings and you know, once things are where we can get them edited together and posted onto the Stride Pro Wrestling Facebook and YouTube channels, just keep up with us on social media because there are going to be some big announcements coming down. Tyler, anything else as we wrap up this week's episode?
I'm going to go ahead and let people know. I'm going to give them a spoiler. Kevin's number one wrestler is me. So
it is true.
And so if everybody is aware, and if not, then we're all going to be disappointed.
That is true. That is true. All right.
That's it. That's all I really had. I just wanted to make sure. Put myself over. I hadn't really put myself over.
Yeah, you
this podcast.
Yeah, so. It's been almost 20 minutes since you had, so that's awesome. But no, seriously, thanks for being
Stay
a part.
In your lane, Dick.
Don't rattle my cage. But we will, of course, be back next month with another episode. And stay tuned next week for another episode of My 1-2-3 Cents. I'm not sure what we'll talk about. But friends, have a great week. Be safe. And again, follow us on social media and stay up to date with what's going on.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.